Well, it's time for another day page, and in the news, there's some really interesting stuff going on. Most interestingly is that the new news about Edward Snowden is not present in the New York Times, raising the question that there might be some press censorship going on. So we'll turn to the pages of The Guardian today, the British newspaper. What caught our eye right off the bat is a comment to one of the main stories from a reader named John Naughton, who says, "Edward Snowden's not the story. The fate of the internet is. The press has lost the plot over the Snowden revelations. The fact is that the net is finished as a global network, and U.S. firms' cloud services cannot be trusted." Well, that might be a little bit of a reach, but the fact is that you cannot trust the internet as being secure. There's more to it than snooping. It's security. Your security, the security of businesses, even the security of other governments. Now that we know that everything is being snooped by the NSA, the internet is, quite simply, not a safe place for your data. That is going to have profound impacts that I believe most Americans haven't even begun to consider yet, because they're really not thinking most of the time. They're watching TV and sending text messages and not at all considering the implications of these developments. Meanwhile, the story in The Guardian is that Edward Snowden's father says the FBI has asked him to fly to Moscow. Father of whistleblower Edward Snowden has said that the FBI tried to persuade him to fly to Moscow so he could encourage his son to return to the United States. Mr. Snowden Sr. said, "I want to be able to speak to my son. Can you set up communications?" And it was, "Well, we're not sure." He said, "Wait a minute, folks, I'm not going to sit on the tarmac and be an emotional tool for you." Snowden's father, who's retired from the U.S. Coast Guard, also said he preferred his son to remain in Russia, where he's stuck in the transit zone of Moscow's Sheremetyevo airport while Russia considers his request for temporary asylum. His father said if he comes back to the United States, he's going to be treated horribly. He's going to be thrown into a hole. He's not going to be allowed to speak. The 52-year-old said that he's been surprised at the rest of America when his son, who worked for a contractor, was revealed to be the source of the leaks about surveillance by the National Security Agency to The Guardian. "As a father, it pains me what he did," Snowden said. "I wish my son could simply have sat in Hawaii and taken the big paycheck, lived with his beautiful girlfriend, and enjoyed paradise. But as an American citizen, I am absolutely thankful for what he did." Meanwhile, the New York Times is managing to cover the story of Bradley Manning, the WikiLeaks leaker, who sort of kicked off the ball on all the revelations about the badness that the United States government has been doing. There was a mixed verdict. The military court's conviction represents a national security system that has metastasized into a largely unchecked exercise of government secrecy. It's actually a surprise that the Times would ink those words. The bottom line is that the judge in the court-martial, Colonel Denise Lind, acquitted Private Manning on the most serious charge against him, that he had aided the enemy, in this case Al-Qaeda, by uploading documents to the internet. However, he was convicted on many other counts and exposed to sentencing for up to 20 years in prison. So we'll still have to wait to see how that turns out. And finally, also on the Times front page, at least in the electronic edition, over a million are denied bank accounts for past errors. This actually happened to me about 10 years ago. Things have gotten a little bit better in this regard, but mistakes like a bounced check or a small overdraft have effectively blacklisted many Americans from the financial system. That means that they can't get a bank account at all. And that leads to fees for paying bills, cashing checks, and wiring money. The problem here is that for life in the United States, lacking a bank account or a credit or debit card makes it very difficult to live in the United States today. The problem is with private banking credit reporting databases. Unlike traditional credit reporting databases, which provide portraits of outstanding debt and payment histories, These are records of transgressions in banking products. Institutions like Bank of America, Citibank, and Wells Fargo say that tapping into the vast repositories of information helps them weed out risky customers and combat fraud, a mounting threat for banks. But consumer advocates and state authorities say the databases disproportionately affect lower-income Americans who tend to live paycheck to paycheck, making them more likely to incur negative marks after a relatively minor banking misstep. And the story goes on from there. There used to be a single repository for this information. It was called Chex Systems. It fell under the gaze of the banking regulators and was more or less done away with after a period of years. But what's happened is these other databases have sprung up. They're not named in the article, which is unfortunate. It'd be interesting to know what they are and who owns them. And the problem, again, with Chex Systems is that once you're on it, you can't get off it. Unlike consumer credit reporting agencies, there's no way to dispute a black mark on that database. So you just have to sort of wait a period of 2 or up to 5 years before you can open a bank account again. And that's DayPage for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for another DayPage right here on Radio InfoWeb at radio.infoweb.net. And DayPage is distributed throughout the blogosphere to Facebook, to Tumblr. We tweet about it. And the archives for past DayPages are at daypage.net. Thanks to producers Peter Patriot and Minka, and it's a Mel production. See you next time.